The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery. An action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The result of pious activities in the mode of goodness is pure. Therefore, the sages who are free from all illusion are situated in happiness. But activities in the mode of passion are simply miserable. Any activity for material happiness is bound to be defeated. If, for example, one wants to have a skyscraper, so much human misery has to be undergone before a big skyscraper can be built. The financier has to take much trouble to earn a mass of wealth, and those who are slaving to construct the building have to render physical toil. The miseries are there. Thus, Bhagavad Gita says that in any activity performed under the spell of modes of passion, under the mode of passion, there is definitely great misery. There may be a little so-called mental happiness. I have this house or this money. But this is not actual happiness. As far as the mode of ignorance is concerned, the performer is without knowledge, and therefore all his activities result in present misery. And afterwards he will go on toward animal life. Animal life is always miserable. Although under the spell of the illusory energy, Maya, the animals do not understand this. Slaughtering poor animals is also due to the mode of ignorance. The animal killers do not know that in the future the animal will have a body suitable to kill them. That is the law of nature. In human society, if one kills a man, he has to be hanged. That is the law of the state. Because of ignorance, people do not perceive that there is a complete state controlled by the Supreme Lord. Every living creature is a son of the Supreme Lord, and he does not tolerate even an ant being killed. Even an ant being killed. Jai Shri Shri Jagannatha. I'm sorry, I just lost that. One has to pay for it. So indulgence in animal killing for the taste of the tongue is the grossest kind of ignorance. A human being has no need to kill animals because God has supplied so many nice things. If one indulges in meat eating anyway, it is to be understood that he is acting in ignorance and is making his future very dark. Of all kinds of animal killing, the killing of cows is the most vicious, because the cow gives us all kinds of pleasure by supplying milk. Cow slaughter is an act of the grossest type of ignorance. In the Vedic literature, Rig Veda 9.4.64, the word gobhi prinita matsaram indicate that one who, being fully satisfied by milk, is desirous of killing the cow is in the grossest ignorance. There is also a prayer in the Vedic literature that states, Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namo. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and world. Vishnu Puran 1.19.65. The purport is that special mention is given in the prayer for the protection of the cows and the brahmanas. Brahmanas are the symbol of spiritual education, and cows are the symbol of the most valuable food. These two living creatures, the brahmanas and the cows, must be given all protection. That is real advancement of civilization. In modern human society, spiritual knowledge is neglected, and cow killing is encouraged. It is to be understood, then, that human society is advancing in the wrong direction and is clearing the path to its own condemnation. A civilization which guides the citizens to become animals in their next lives is certainly not a human civilization. The present human civilization is, of course, grossly misled by the modes of passion and ignorance. It is a very dangerous age, and all nations should take care to provide the easiest process, Krishna consciousness, to save humanity from the greatest danger. Karmana Shukrita Sahu Satvikam Nirmalam Phalam Rajoshastu Phalam Dukham Agyanam Tamasa Phalam. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. So, this 14th chapter actually deals with the three modes of material nature. This material nature is influenced by three different modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. The definition of goodness is to be aware of the reality and act accordingly. A person situated in the mode of goodness knows about the reality and he acts accordingly. What is the basic understanding of reality? The basic understanding of reality is that this material nature is illusory. And when we have the knowledge that this nature is an illusion or this nature is illusory, then to be involved in material nature becomes a meaningless indulgence. A person who knows that it is illusory, so he naturally would not want to get involved in this nature. So a person situated in the mode of goodness is naturally withdrawn. And at least by being withdrawn from getting involved in the material nature, they are somewhat situated in happiness. At least they are not miserable. That is the first state of affair. And of course, when one transcends the mode of goodness, then he becomes situated in pure goodness. And in pure goodness, one becomes involved in Krishna conscious activities. To be situated in the pure goodness means to know the absolute reality. And what is the absolute reality? The absolute reality is the spiritual reality, the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the predominating Lord. And one naturally becomes subordinate to Him and becomes engaged in His devotional service. But those who are not aware of reality, they actually mistake this illusory nature to be real. and they want to get involved in various kinds of activities in order to enjoy this illusory reality or illusory nature. So that is the result of the mode of passion. The result of the mode of passion, or the mode of passion actually, mode of passion means not recognizing the real nature of this material nature. The material nature is illusory, but a person in the mode of passion doesn't realize that. He thinks that this is real, and he wants to get whatever he wants from this nature. It's something like running after a mirage to quench one's thirst. There is no water in the mirage, but a person, due to his ignorance, runs after the mirage, thinking that there will be sometime, when he reaches the mirage, he will get the water and quench his thirst. That is the result, or that's the action of the mode of passion. One thinks that this is real. He thinks this material nature is the absolute reality, and he wants to be happy. He wants to enjoy this nature. And he works very hard. He makes all kinds of endeavor to extract some juice out of this material nature. But his endeavor is never successful. And as a result of that, he becomes miserable. And mode of ignorance is when one does not know what this material nature is, nor he cares about what the spiritual nature is, and he remains in a state of unconsciousness. So that is the mode of ignorance, or of foolishness. He does not have any concern about his happiness and doesn't care how he can ever become happy. Mode of passion is synonymous to working very hard to enjoy this material nature. And mode of ignorance is synonymous to falling asleep. When one is asleep, he doesn't know where he is. And when one is asleep or unconscious, then people can come and do all kinds of things to him. He doesn't even have any ability to resist that. Say, for example, a person is asleep, or even better example would be, a person is drunk. He doesn't have any awareness. And in a drunken state, he is thinking that he has become the richest man on this world. But somebody comes and takes money out of his pocket and runs away. He doesn't have any awareness. He doesn't even know how to resist him. But then when he comes out of his drunken state, then he sees that after all, he is not the richest man, but whatever little money he had in his pocket has also been stolen. So this is how a person in a mode of ignorance is. And Prabhupada here gives the example, often in other cases Prabhupada gave the example, that how the animals are completely helpless and they are being subjected to all kinds of tribulations. But they don't even have any awareness to resist the cause of misery. Like The goats, it's a very common sight. Like we see that animals are being slaughtered. And the other animals, they're standing there, although just 2 feet away from them, other animal is being, one of their brothers are being slaughtered. They don't care. They just happily eat grass. They don't realize that after 5 minutes, it'll be his turn. He'll be taken into, and he'll be slaughtered. That's the perfect example of mode of ignorance. But in the mode of passion, one tries to enjoy this material nature. But all his endeavor to enjoy this material nature ultimately culminates into misery. That here Prabhupada gives the example is that when one builds a skyscraper, apparently it appears to be such a beautiful structure, but there is so much misery behind it. The person who built it, he had to undergo so many different kinds of suffering to collect the money. Although it may seem to us that somebody is very rich and he can very easily build it. He has so much money, everything comes so easily to him. But the person himself knows how difficult it is to get the money. Even the richest man at heart is very poor. Everyone in this material nature suffers from a state of scarcity. Like for example, in India people may think that everybody in Switzerland are very rich. But everybody in Switzerland feels like a poor man. No matter, although they may get a lot of money, ultimately they feel very poor. An average person may get 4,000, 5,000 francs, but at the end of the week or at the end of the month, he runs out of his money and he has to borrow. That's the reality of this material nature. Like no one here is perfectly satisfied. Everyone is in a state of scarcity. Actually, once we went to the richest man in India, and he was telling us that how poor he was, that how he doesn't really have the money. And even if they have the money, but they don't have other things. Somebody may be very rich, somebody may have everything he wants, but probably we'll find out if we investigate that his married life is completely devastated, his children are becoming drug addicts, and he is in a constant anxiety, can't even sleep at night. And we say, poor guy. So this is the state of affairs in this material nature. In the mode of passion and ignorance, no one is actually, no matter how hard they work, they never really get the satisfaction. But a person who is situated in goodness, a person who is situated in true knowledge, he knows that these are all illusory. And this material nature is illusory. So he doesn't want to get involved. He said, no, I'm not getting involved. Somebody comes and tells him, look, let's build a skyscraper. Let's invest the money. We'll invest 25 million francs and we'll get a return of 45 million francs and we'll make a solid profit of 20 million francs. And he says, well, you go ahead. I'm not interested. Why he's not interested? Because he knows that 20 million francs or 20 billion francs is not going to give him any happiness that he's aspiring for. Instead, what he does, he just stands aside. He stands aside and he simply meditates upon the supreme reality, the supreme personality of Godhead, and becomes involved. And if he's fortunate, then he becomes involved in his loving devotional service. So, in one side we find mode of passion and ignorance, which is actually the cause of material misery. But on the other side, we find mode of goodness, and then transcending the mode of goodness, one comes to pure goodness. In order to come to pure goodness, one must become situated in mode of goodness. Unless and until one transcends the mode of passion and ignorance, he cannot become situated in mode of goodness. On the other hand, passion and ignorance, they actually fluctuate. They actually lead one to the, they fluctuate from one to the other. Like in the mode of passion, one works very hard to enjoy this material nature. And then he falls asleep in the mode of ignorance. Throughout the day, he works very hard. And in the evening, he goes back home, completely exhausted, completely tired, and he falls asleep. Then in the morning, he wakes up again and starts to work hard, like an ass. And then at night, he again falls asleep. So in the mode of passion, he works hard during the day, and in the mode of ignorance, he falls asleep at night. So that is the normal happening, that's the normal state of affairs for all conditioned souls in this material nature. But a person situated in the mode of goodness, or rather to become situated in the mode of goodness, he has to isolate himself from the affairs of the material nature. He may be involved in the activities of the material nature, but he doesn't become affected by that. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, his condition is like a lotus. Lotus, although in the water, does not become affected by water. The lotus is always above water. Therefore, a person in the mode of goodness, although he is in this world, but he is not in this world, he is above this world. And who are those people? They are the sages. They're completely withdrawn from the activities of the material nature. The sages in the Vedic society used to stay away from the cities or crowded places. They would stay in the middle of a forest. But not like an animal lives in a forest. They would clear up the forest on the bank of the river, and there they would lead, or rather there they would clear out the place and plant the fruit and flower trees and make their beautiful huts and live there to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. They would get their necessities supplied by the fruits, fruit trees and the cows, and they would have their other supplies, water supply from the river, and that's all they need. They need some food to eat and water to drink, and there is abundant of that, the situation there they place themselves, and they just use their time in meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cultivating their spiritual life. And then when they get to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly, then they become involved in serving the Supreme Lord. So that service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes place in the mode of pure goodness or Suddha Sattva. But in order to become situated in the mode of Suddha Sattva or pure goodness, one first must come to the mode of goodness. Material goodness. Actually, there is no real goodness in the material nature. the goodness in the material nature is always tinged by passion and ignorance. But pure goodness is available only in the spiritual sky, where there is no room for passion and ignorance. Therefore, the goodness is pure in the spiritual sky. But in the material nature, that goodness is tinged. Anyway, in order to transcend the material nature, one must come at least to the mode of goodness. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been explained as Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kamo Lobho Dayashchaju Cheto Etoir Anabiddham Sthitam Shakti Prashidati. Due to the influences of passion and ignorance, one simply develops lust, greed, anger, etc. Kamo Lobho Dayashchaju. Lust, greed, etc. But Cheto Eto in Anabiddham Sthitam Shakti Prashidati. When one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, then only he becomes unaffected by the affairs of this material nature. And then Evam Prasanna Manasho, then he becomes completely satisfied. When one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, then only he becomes satisfied, not otherwise. In the mode of passion, no one is satisfied. What to speak of in ignorance? There is some kind of satisfaction in ignorance, but that is the satisfaction of an animal, or the kind of satisfaction one derives out of sleeping. When we are asleep, then we are not aware of our miserable condition. But that is not total freedom from misery. We may be forgetful of our misery, but we are not free from our misery. Now, in the state of ignorance, one is forgetful of his misery. Just like someone is suffering from acute pain, but the doctor gave him some anesthetics, and as a result of that anesthetics, he is oblivious of his suffering. But that doesn't mean that he is not suffering. So mode of ignorance is like being under the spell of some sort of anesthetics. In that state, he is not aware of his misery. Like we notice sometimes someone is in a very bad condition, someone is suffering very much, and then he falls asleep and he is forgetful of his misery. For the time being, he doesn't remember it. But as soon as he wakes up, then immediately he becomes affected by the suffering. But to be situated in a mode of goodness means to be completely free from all material influences. And at that stage, one feels total satisfaction, prasanna manasa. And at that stage only, one can perform or render devotional service. Unless and until one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, one cannot become a devotee of Krishna. So one must at least come to the mode of goodness. Therefore Prabhupada used to say that he wants to make brahmanas around the world. Brahmanas means people who are situated in the mode of goodness. But that was not Prabhupada's ultimate goal. Prabhupada actually came to make devotees of Krishna, make Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas are actually even transcendental to the Brahminical platform. The Brahmanas in the mode of goodness, but the Vaishnavas are in pure goodness. They are in spiritual nature. The devotees of ISKCON are actually meant to be situated in the mode of pure goodness. And that is to be engaged in loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this way there are three modes of material nature, and they have their respective influences on the individual. Those who are in the goodness, those who are in the mode of goodness, they are actually called brahmanas. Those who are in the mode of fashion, they are called the kshatriyas. Those who are in the mode of mixed mode of good passion and ignorance, they are called the Vaishyas. And those who are in ignorance, they are called the Sudras. So in this way, according to these three different modes, the human society have been divided into four different categories. And the highest of these four are the Brahmanas, who are situated in the mode of goodness. And the sign of mode of goodness is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one becomes situated in the Brahminical platform or in the mode of goodness, he becomes Prasanna. Prasanna means he becomes satisfied. And that's actually a clear indication that satisfaction is not an external consideration, it's an internal consideration. One can very easily be satisfied if from within he feels that his state that he is in is free from misery. The first stage of first taste of satisfaction is in becoming free from misery. That I am not affected by the miseries of material nature anymore. And that's called Brahma Bhuta platform. The transcendental to the material nature. And then, after Prasanna, Manasaha state, comes the state of bliss, a state of joy. That state of joy is experienced by being engaged in the loving devotional service to the Lord. In Prasanna state, Prasanna stage is a peaceful state. One feels peaceful. But peace and happiness, peace and joy are not the same thing. Peace is a state of being free from suffering. But joy is a state of enjoyment. Now just being free from suffering does not necessarily mean enjoyment. If suffering is considered to be negative, then peace, the state of Prasanna Manasaha, or peaceful or satisfied state of existence, is a neutral stage. And the state of joy is a positive state. One side we have positive, the other side we have negative. And in between, there is a state of neutrality or zero line, zero axis. Now this Krishna consciousness movement is designed very expertly by Srila Prabhupada to situate people in a mode of pure goodness. And that's why we see in ISKCON, devotees are not indulging in materialistic activities. After one becomes a devotee, he does not really make endeavor to exploit this material nature and enjoy this material nature. The devotees, in most cases, the devotees don't make that endeavor. They don't try to enjoy by exploiting this material nature in the mode of passion. The exploitation of the material nature takes place in the mode of passion. Through passion, one tries to exploit the material nature for his enjoyment. But a devotee never makes an endeavor like that. Devotees do not go out to work hard in order to make a lot of money, and then after making the money, he spends the money in getting drunk or having sex. The devotees don't do that. The devotees are very happy in the simple situation they are in, although they may not be living in the middle of a forest on the bank of a river. But even though they may be living in a busy city like Zurich, but in Zurich, in a big jungle called Zurich, there is a small little place which is actually isolated from the rest of the city, and that is 54 Bergstrasse, the temple of Hare Krishna. And here everyone is very satisfied in the state that they are in. Their life is very simple. They get up in the morning, early hours in the morning, 3:30 or so, take their bath, clean themselves, dress themselves up, and then they come to greet the Supreme Personality of Godhead at 4:15. And after greeting the Lord, they sing His glory, and after that they chant the names of the Lord. Then they worship their spiritual master. They greet the deity again. They worship Srila Prabhupada. And then they discuss the highest philosophy, the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam philosophy describes the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how one can become related to Him. And then they honor Krishna Prasad, the transcendental food that has been very mercifully given by the Lord to them as His mercy. And after that they go out to distribute the message of Krishna. And then in the evening they come back, take their bath again, take some prasad. Do you take prasad before or after Bhagavad Gita class? After. So, and then they discuss the highest philosophy in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And then they take some milk and prasad and go to bed. It's a very simple life, but this is a life of perfect satisfaction. And hopefully very soon the whole world will follow this example that has been set by Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. And the whole world will become situated in the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes, Madhumana.
Yeah.
Yeah, the self with the small s indicates the individual self. And as I mentioned, the initial stage of satisfaction is that realizing that one is a spiritual entity. He is spiritual and he doesn't really have to depend upon the material nature for anything. So that is the first stage of satisfaction. That I am spirit and I don't really have anything to do with this material nature. Therefore he stands aside and just doesn't get involved with the activities of the material nature. And that is actually the Brahma-bhuta state. Or it's called the state of Atma Upalabdhi. Atma means the self and Upalabdhi means realization. So it's a the state of self-realization. So in order to become satisfied, one must be situated in the self. And then he realizes that his real existence is not dependent upon the material nature. His real existence is in his self. The consciousness that he is, or the awareness of his existence, is coming from within, from his self. And he will continue to exist irrespective of his presence in this material nature. That I am not, I mean, in plain Sanskrit, that is called Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi actually means I am spirit and I am not this material body. I am not this body, but I am a pure spirit soul. That is the joy from within by being situated in the self.
Yes, Atmatattva.
Yeah. You see, one becomes a menial worker or servant to others, not by chance or by accident. It is his state of consciousness that he cannot actually be independently engaged. Therefore, he must work under somebody else. So a person who is in the mode of ignorance cannot actually act independently. He doesn't know how to do anything. So he needs to be directed by others, superior persons. So it is, although it is a designation, but the designation is relative to one's state of consciousness. Like a brahmana in a properly structured society, a person who is in the mode of goodness will never take up a job under somebody else. Because, say, as I was explaining, like he knows that, you know, he doesn't have to depend upon the material nature. So he will think, why should I work for somebody? I'm fine the way I am. Like for food, I don't need money. There's plenty of food, right? There's so many fruits, there are so much grain, there's so much milk. So nature is supplying, Krishna is supplying everything. So why should I work like a donkey to get a few pieces of grass? So he'll never accept a job or he'll never work under somebody. And a kshatriya who is in the mode of passion, he wants to exploit this material nature. He said, this is mine. He is very powerful. So whatever he wants, he goes and grabs it. So he also doesn't need to work under somebody. Right? The person who is in a mixed mode of ignorance and passion, although he has a desire to enjoy this material nature, but he doesn't actually have the strength of a kshatriya. So, but he has the intelligence to figure out how to get what he wants. So he goes to the marketplace, buys something for 5 francs, and he puts them in a nice packet and sells it for 50 francs. And he makes a profit of 45 francs. And out of that he keeps 20 francs for future investment, and he uses 25 francs for his enjoyment. So this way a Vaishya will make arrangements by trading. But a Sudra, he doesn't know. He doesn't, first of all, he doesn't even know how to enjoy, nor does he care how to enjoy. A Sudra is like an animal. I mean, of course, he's a human being, but his nature is somewhat like an animal. Like an animal doesn't know what he should do and what he shouldn't do. The animal doesn't think that, well, I want to buy a nice car, so let me go and make the money. Did you ever find an animal thinking like that? No, no animal thinks like that. Or animal doesn't even think that, at least, you know, I want to have a nice toy. And let me just go and ask my master to buy me a toy from the shop. So he doesn't know, even he doesn't even have any concept of happiness. His only joy is in eating and sleeping and mating and defending. And that also is done by the arrangements of nature. He eats whenever he gets. I mean, he's always actually looking for food. That's the only form of enjoyment he has, annamaya. His joy is in eating. And all day he's just, whenever he's awake, he is just looking around for some food. Then when he has the food, his stomach is satisfied, he goes to sleep. Sleeping. And then by the arrangement of nature, when he develops sex desire in certain time, then he goes out and has sex. Kind of mechanically he has sex. He doesn't really have the understanding of experiencing some joy out of sex life. And defending. Whenever he is in distress, whenever he is threatened, he tries to defend himself. So that's a typical animal nature. The Sudras are also somewhat like that. Therefore, they must be directed by the superior intelligence of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So it's not just a designation, it's a characteristic actually. So it's not just a designation, it's a characteristic actually. Very good question. That one must become situated in the mode of goodness to come to the platform of pure goodness or the platform of pure devotional service. Then how can one engage the mode of passion in devotional service? Now, devotional service actually means to be engaged in rendering service for Krishna's pleasure of the spiritual master. That's the difference between devotional service and karma yoga. What is the definition of karma yoga? Who knows the definition of karma yoga? The karma yoga means to act and offer the results to Krishna, isn't it? When you work, when you do things, but then the result is offered to Krishna, that's called karma yoga. Now, when one actually transcends even that platform of offering the results of his activities to Krishna, but comes under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, surrenders himself to the spiritual master and acts according to his instruction, then that is the beginning of devotional service. And that's the difference between karma yoga and devotional service. So in devotional service, whatever the spiritual master says, the disciple does. So the spiritual master says, well, now you go and build a skyscraper. And he goes out and to build the skyscraper, as Prabhupada mentioned, is done in the mode of passion. But when the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, instructs, and the disciple acts according to the instruction of spiritual master, to please Krishna, then that is devotional service. Like passion, you know, in that sense, an expert spiritual master knows how to even use the passion of his disciples in the service of Krishna. A perfect example is Arjun fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjun himself didn't want to fight because he felt it's more of passion, why should I get involved in it? But Krishna said, no, fight. This is my order. Right? So Krishna is the spiritual master and Arjun is the disciple. And Arjun, because his spiritual master instructed him, he started to fight. Now, can one fight in the mode of goodness? No. In order to fight, a lot of passion is needed. And Arjun was actually a Kshatriya. He was a very passionate person. But at the same time, he had goodness also. His predominating mode was the mode of goodness. But he acted in a mode of passion just for the sake of pleasing his spiritual master Krishna. Is it clear? But you can't use mode of ignorance in devotional service. Yes, yes, Nishina. Who mentioned that? Oh, I see. Yeah, I've asked because I wanted to understand in what context he said that. You see, first of all, you can't really compare the spiritual sky with material measurements. It's a completely different dimension. So, it's true, in the spiritual sky, in Golok Vrindavan, everyone is actually equally powerful as Krishna. And Krishna is the origin of everything. But he, with his inconceivable potency, makes himself limited to the perception of a living entity, of this material nature, conditioned soul. So we have to understand, like, first of all, you cannot really measure the spiritual sky with material calculation. And Krishna actually comes, makes himself visible to our tiny perception. Our vision can grasp only up to 6 feet or 7 feet. So Krishna becomes 5 feet 8 inches and limits himself to become perceivable, become visible to our perception. Yes, I understand. Yes, one can be very active in the mode of goodness, but that's not physical action. That's a mental action, and in pure goodness, it's spiritual action. A Brahmin can be very fast, but not with his body, with his mind. His mind is very agile, very sharp. It's so sharp that it can travel thousands of miles in a fraction of a moment. So that is the Brahminical activity. Dronacharya, actually, although he was a Brahmin, but he actually came down to the platform of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya in the sense, he took up the occupation of a Kshatriya. It is authorized. A Brahminical person can, if necessary, can take up the activity of a Kshatriya. But he would not take up the activity of a Vaishya or a Sudra. Yeah. Right, but his question was that, I mean, the Brahmanas not always have to teach the art of warfare. Right. Some Brahmanas may take up, like Dronacharya and Kripacharya did. Yes. Yeah, the Puranas are all transcendental, actually. The mode of ignorance means they are meant for the people in the mode of ignorance. They are designed for uplifting the people from the mode of ignorance into higher platform. Puranas are not in ignorance. Yeah. Yeah. One is the basic karma yoga, basic understanding of karma yoga. And then the fifth chapter is a modified karma, karma yoga further defined in Krishna consciousness. Like acting, offering the results of your activities, and then becoming aware of Krishna even more and doing things for Krishna's pleasure. So this is how karma yoga is gradually coming to devotional service. The karma yoga is a preliminary stage of devotional service. But the ultimate stage of devotional service is pure devotional service, where there is no consideration of offering the fruits of our activities, but it is completely acting according to the instruction of the spiritual master, simply for the pleasure of the spiritual master. That's the pure devotional service. Yes. You see, as I mentioned, that in the material nature you'll never find the pure goodness. It's always tinged with passion and ignorance. So in the material nature, somebody may come to the state of goodness, but there will be certain degree of passion involved in that. Like the passion is that I'm a brahmana. That feeling is actually passion, influence of passion. I am a brahmana. So much pride, right? But when one comes in contact with a devotee and then learns to act for the pleasure of Krishna, becoming a humble servant of Krishna, then only one comes to the platform of pure goodness. So simple goodness, the material goodness, is a state of Brahminical platform. But pure goodness is a Vaishnava platform. Now, when does one become a Vaishnava? When one receives the mercy of another Vaishnava. Right? You see, in ultimate consideration, devotional service is not dependent upon our physical condition. To give an example, your body may be sick, you may not be able to go out, but in your mind you can think how you are going out and how you are distributing books. Right? And that's also real. You know, our devotional service rendered in our mind is also real devotional service, just as devotional service rendered in a physical platform is real. And Rupa Goswami gives that example, that how that brahmana who is cooking sweet rice for Krishna, that he, in his mind, he was doing it. He gathered all the ingredients, he collected all the ingredients, then he lit the fire, and he started to cook it, and he saw how the rice was boiled and how the sweet rice was ready. But then he wanted to check out whether it was too hot for Krishna to take, because he didn't want to offer it to Krishna when it was too hot. And when he put his finger in it, it was so hot that he got a blister in his finger. And at that time, Krishna, Narayan, laughed. He smiled.
Lakshmi Devi asked, "Why are you smiling?" And then he told about the Brahmana. And immediately the Brahmana was called into Vaikuntha. So, devotional service rendered in mind is also spiritual activity. But of course, that doesn't mean that you should think of rendering devotional service only in mind. The understanding is that wherever your consciousness is, you must use that, you must become engaged in devotional service, rendering in that platform. Like if your consciousness is in a gross bodily platform, yes, then engage the gross body in service of Krishna. But if the consciousness is in a subtle bodily platform, then engage the subtle body in Krishna's service. And then transcending the subtle body, the consciousness will come to the pure spiritual identity. And that is the state of pure devotional service. Brahminical platform is subtle bodily platform, intellectual platform. Like they are not so much involved in the gross bodily platform, gross bodily activity. They are more in the subtle platform or mental platform. I won't say mental. Mental is just negative. They are rather on the intellectual platform. Like a philosopher, he's very active in his mind, but physically, he's a lazy bum. He doesn't want to do anything. He's good for nothing, physically. He can't even boil a pot of water. But when it comes to his intellect, he's very agile, he's very sharp. So brahmanas are like that. Of course, a good brahmana is a good cook also. It's not that they can't even boil a pot of water. Actually, philosophers are another example. But generally, the brahmanas are very smart. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, we have to understand that if they want, they can actually come down to the mode of passion. Like Dronacharya's example. If he wants, he can do the job of a kshatriya perfectly. If he wants, he can do the job of a vaishya also very well. But basically he doesn't want to. That's actually the example that a Vaishnava is not at all interested in material activities, material enjoyment. To prove that, Krishna actually made Arjuna take that stand. I don't want to fight. That's actually a Brahminical platform. And he didn't want to fight to enjoy his kingdom. Instead, he wanted to go out and beg and maintain himself. He was prepared to do that. But Krishna says, no, you do it for me. So that's a proof that from mode of goodness, or a devotee is already situated in the mode of goodness, and he is actually in a higher state, higher than the mode of goodness. Yeah, it has two sides of it actually. One side is
that they can see into future, right? And they predict. It's not they curse. If someone acts in a certain way and the reaction of that action, they can see. Oh, you acted in this way, so you will get the result in that way. Oh, you are enjoying with women in a nakedly, you are naked and trying to enjoy with a woman and lost all your consciousness. So okay, you'll become a tree. So the thing is that he actually sees, he can understand the arrangements of the nature perfectly. So he can foresee and he can predict. Right? That's one aspect of it. The other is that the brahmanas are actually so truthful that whatever they say becomes true. It's a kind of a power. Now, you see, the nature cannot deny that power of a brahmana. So nature complies to that. So if a brahmana says, this will happen, you know, nature says, okay, I'll make sure that that happens. The example is, when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, that he'll be beaten by Takshak, cursed by a brahmana, that he'll be beaten by a snake, then Takshak was coming. And at that time, Kashyapa Muni, who is actually a biggest snake doctor, he was also coming. So Kashyapa and Takshaka met on the way. Takshaka was coming in the disguise of a brahmana. Although he is a celestial snake, but he could change his body according to his will. So he came in disguise of a brahmana. He was walking, and this Kashyapa Muni also met him on the way. So they started to walk together. Which way are you going? I'm going this way. So let's go. So they're walking together. So they started talking. So Takshak asked, where are you going, by the way? And he said, I heard that Parikshit Maharaj is going to get bitten by a snake called Takshaka. So I'm just going to heal him when he gets bitten. So Takshaka got very angry. He said, I am the Takshaka. And do you think that you can counteract my poison? And he said, let's see. So Takshaka, he bit a huge banyan tree. And the whole tree burnt into ashes right there. Actually, poison is a kind of fire. Poison is actually a kind of fire. It's a subtle fire, liquid fire. But it's far more potent than a blazing fire. So that poison was so powerful that burned the tree into ashes in no time. So he said, do you see my power? Now let's see what you can do. So Kashyapa took some water from his water pot, chanted a mantra and sprinkled the water, and the tree came back to life. So then Takshaka became surprised and impressed. He said, well, you can counteract my poison, but you can't counteract the curse of a brahmana. So you won't be able to revive or to protect Parikshit Maharaj. So why don't you go back? I'll give you some wealth. So he gave him a box of gems. Very, very precious gems. Kashyapa thought, that's true. I won't be able to counteract the curse of a brahmana. So he went back. So, yeah. By advice, by giving direction. They are teachers. Just like a teacher controls a student, the kshatriyas are controlled by the brahmana. Then the brahmana will curse them. When they reach the optimum point, the brahmanas are tolerant also. So they'll tolerate for some time. But if they see that this guy is completely incorrigible, intolerable, then they will curse him and finish him off. Like Vena, King Vena was a very independent and despondent king. So the Brahmanas saw that this king is actually very sinful, and he is not listening to the Brahmanas. He has become very independent. So they cursed him and he died. Well, in Kali Yuga there is no Brahmana. Very few Brahmanas. Practically no Brahmanas, and those who are there, only ISKCON is producing some Brahmanas. And Prabhupada actually said that the generation after next, our children will be born with mystic power. That means they will be born with Brahmanical potency. So they'll have mystic powers, but this generation and next couple of generations won't have it. When we produce true Brahmanas, yes, they'll have mystic powers. Actually, all 8 yoga siddhis are automatically achieved by the pure devotee, by a pure devotee. He automatically has it, but he doesn't care to use them. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.